So the three key passages, the 1 Timothy 1, the Titus 1, and then 1 Peter chapter 5, three sections trying to break down these qualifications, the personal life of an elder, the family life of an elder, and then the congregational life or work of an elder. And then there are five translations there for you. The English Standard Version is probably the most popular version of students on campus at Freed Hardeman. It's replaced the NIV. It's about 60-40, the English Standard Version, and about 40% are New King James Version, which I use in the classroom, but I have a lot of my students who use the English Standard Version. If you're interested in the English Standard Version, if you've not seen it or read it at all, Wayne Jackson has an excellent summary of the English Standard Version as well as a critique of not only the text, but the apparatus or the notes at the bottom of the pages. I was impressed by what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, must be. These are the qualifications of elders that must be. So there's no way around these. In other words, these are not take it or leave it. These are not optional. These must be the characteristics and qualifications of our elders. What I want to do is read these passages. Let's start with 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll look at the words and look at the different translations and let you see how these words have been translated over the years. 1 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, I just read from the King James Version, as you might guess. Look at the qualifications now as they go across the spectrum of these translations. All of them say that an elder must be a man. A woman cannot be an elder. Notice, number two, that an elder must desire the office. That's plain in the King James Version. It's also the same in the New King James Version. Look at the American Standard Version, seeketh the office. The New American Standard Version aspires to the office. And then the ESV follows the New American Standard Version. I thought it interesting in the Greek, epithumeo is the Greek word for desire. It's the same Greek word that's found in Luke 16:21. When Lazarus was begging for crumbs to fall from the rich man's table so that he could eat them. So this desire is deep and sincere and genuine, almost like that of a beggar. And then notice that an elder is to be blameless. As we start verse 2, that's the same word that's translated in the New King James Version. But you see in the American Standard Version, it's translated without reproach. And then the New American Standard Version follows that above reproach, and the ESV does the same above reproach. So to be blameless, of course, does not mean to be sinless, but it means to be of such a character that the man that serves in that position fulfills these qualifications, and it's not debatable. It's not disputed. It's very obvious that these are qualities and characteristics and qualifications of this particular individual. So he is unapproachable or unreproachable, rather, in these qualifications. And then the word temperate in verse 2, we'll come back to husband of one wife as we look at the family qualifications. But the King James Version uses the word vigilant in verse 2. The New King James Version has the word temperate, as does the American Standard Version and the New American Standard Version, but the ESV deviates a little bit with sober-minded. I found it interesting, the word vigilant in the Greek, nephileos, means holding no wine. That's literally what the word means, holding no wine. Now, one of the things that we need to understand about trying to justify social drinking or drinking at home or drinking in moderation or drinking with restraint or with temperance, people come to these passages about elders and their qualifications being in moderation, drinking in moderation to justify being able to have wine at home or maybe even to have it socially. But the Greek word is very strong. The English word is not. I looked up the word temperate just to see what it said. It's one of those words that you know what it says. But as I did, they gave this sentence. Charles was temperate in his consumption of both food and drink. So that's somewhat the way the word is viewed by people, generally speaking. But the word vigilant, the Greek word, is much stronger than that term. And then an elder is to be sober-minded. Sober is what the King James Version has in verse 2. The New King James Version translates it sober-minded, as does the American Standard Version. Prudent is the word that the New American Standard Version uses. What does that mean? It means to act with or show care and thought for the future. And so to be sober-minded is to live with the future in mind. It's to make wise choices, wise decisions, knowing or considering the consequences. Self-controlled is a very good translation as well in the ESV. And then also in verse 2, in the King James Version of good behavior, that's the same translation in the New King James Version. The American Standard Version has orderly. And then notice that the New American Standard Version has respectable, as does the ESV. So an elder is to be respectable. He's to be orderly. He's to be of good behavior. And then not given to wine. And notice that that's the way it's translated in the King James Version. The New King James Version followed that same path. But the American Standard Version says no brawler. Now, what is meant by brawler? Well, I looked that up. It means to be belligerent, combative. So what would cause someone to be belligerent or combative? That's the question, of course. The New American Standard Version says not addicted to wine. The ESV says not a drunkard. So what conclusion do you draw? It's okay to drink in moderation, just as long as you're not drunk, or as long as you don't get drunk. So you can see where young people would want to go here to try to justify drinking at home, or drinking wine in their own home, or maybe even going as far as to say drinking socially. But the Greek word is very, very interesting for not given to wine. That's the way the King James Version translates it. Paronos is the Greek word. Para is the preposition, at, by, the side of, or near. Oinos is the Greek word for wine. Literally, what this verse is saying is that an elder must not be at, by the side of, or near wine. Total abstinence. That's what the Greek says. Now, the English doesn't make it that clear, doesn't make it that plain. It'd be a lot easier if it did. But it doesn't. But that's what the Greek word means. That Greek word is found one other time. One other time. Titus 1:7. Where in Titus lists the qualifications an elder is not given to wine. Maybe this is why in 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul had to almost, it seems like, make Timothy drink a little wine for the sake of his stomach. Timothy, it appears to me, didn't want to do that. But for the sake of his health, Paul imposed that, if you will, or strongly encouraged that. And we understand that in ancient times, the water was not drinkable, and that many times the water was cut with wine or diluted with wine. They diluted wine with that water so that they could drink it. But it's certainly not an intoxicating beverage. It's not what we would think of as alcohol or wine. They did know the difference. I just think it's interesting, the Greek word, paroinos, which simply says that an elder is not to be at, near, or alongside or beside of wine. So not given to wine, that's one of the qualifications. So an elder is to be a teetotaler. It's to exercise total abstinence. It seems to me that's what that verse is saying. Verse 3, he's no striker. The New King James Version probably translates that better. Not violent. He's not a violent person. American Standard Version follows the King James striker. Not pugnacious. Well, what in the world does pugnacious mean? Well, I had to look that up too. This means to be eager or quick to argue. Quarrelsome, ready for a fight, a fighter, combative is another way of saying it. And then not violent is what the ESV says. King James Version, you have a reference to not greedy of filthy lucre. You see that's missing in the, well, it's in the New King James Version, but it's missing in the ASV, the New American Standard, and the ESV. And the reason for that is it's not in the best manuscripts. The earliest, the best manuscripts do not include not greedy for filthy lucre, or the New King James Version, not greedy for money. So that's why you have the discrepancy there. The American Standard, the New American Standard, and the ESV follow the best so-called earliest manuscripts. The King James Version follows the bulk of the manuscripts, the number of the manuscripts. And the King James Version tends to give the literal translation, where these English translations tend to give more of the meaning of the word. Those are the two subtle differences between the King James and the more modern translations that we have today. Verse 3, an elder is to be patient, the King James Version says. The New King James Version, gentle, and then across the board, be gentle, to be kind. Verse 3, not a brawler, not quarrelsome, the New King James Version says, not contentious, uncontentious, not quarrelsome, the ESV. So you see the difference in the translations, and they're all hitting around the mark. They're very close and very descriptive of what an elder is supposed to be. Also verse 3, not covetous. The American Standard Version translates it, no lover of money. The New American Standard Version, free from the love of money. Not a lover of money, and so it's not money that's the problem, it's the love of money. It's not that an elder has money, it's not that an elder has a lot of money. It's that an elder loves his money above everything else. But an elder, like any of us, should be financially a good steward. And certainly elders have a greater responsibility in that area. But I thought it interesting that the ASV and the NASV and the ESV all include love of money. And then number 6, not a novice. A neophyte is the Greek word, which you may be familiar with. And that's jumping down to verse 6, because we'll pick up these other qualifications when we come to his family life. Not a new convert. The New American Standard Version is quite different. Then the ESV must not be a recent convert. So those are, if you will, from 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, the personal qualities. Now let's look at the family life of the elder. That's on page 2, or the back of page 1. He's to be the husband of one wife. That rules out, of course, a woman from being an elder. That's across the board in all the translations from 1611 to 2000. And then the King James Version says about hospitality that an elder is to be given to hospitality. The New King James Version just says hospitable. The root word of hospitality in the Greek is phileo, which is brotherly love. In Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. And forget not to entertain strangers, for some, having entertained strangers, entertain angels, being unaware of that. That's, of course, back to Abraham, who entertained guests and was hospitable to them, not knowing they were angels until later. And so what is hospitality? It's brotherly love, basically. Phileo gives us our English word, or the city, Philadelphia. And then one who rules his own house, verse 4, rules his house well, the New King James Version says. The American Standard Version, one that ruleth well his own house. The New American Standard Version, one who manages his own household well. And he must manage his own household well, is the ESV. Interestingly, the Greek word prohistomai means to be at the head of, to be the spiritual leader of. To direct his family, to be concerned about his family, and to care for his family. So this rules out any authoritarianism. Authoritarianism. So that's not how you say that. How you say that? Authoritarianism. Is that close enough? What that means is he can't be enough. They can't be mean. He can't be mean to his family, mean to his wife, mean to his children. But as he cares for his family, and he's not an authoritarian. Dominating, dictating to his family. The word means much more than just being the head or ruler or manager. It means to be concerned about, which is quite different. And then in verse 4, having his children in subjection with all reverence. The American Standard Version says in subjection. The New American Standard Version says under control. And then the ESV says to be submissive. The Greek word for children is tekna, and tekna literally means offspring. So it's not the number of children, it's the fact that he has children, one or more. In the English, of course, as in the Greek, it's the same. If I were to ask you how many children do you have? Well, if you had one, you would say one. If I ask you how many children you have and you have three, you would say three. The language is like that in the Bible, too, in the translations of the Bible. So tekna means offspring, so he is to have children. He's not to be childless, in other words. I know sometimes people get concerned about the fact that he may have only one child. Does that disqualify him from being an elder? It does not. He has offspring. That's what the word literally means. When I worshipped and served under the elders at the Henderson congregation many years ago, a wonderful eldership. Three of the elders there, each of them had only one child, and they were tremendous elders. The others had more than one, but those three had just the one child. That did not disqualify them. In the congregational life, he is to be, in verse 1, or verse 2 rather, excuse me, he is to be apt to teach. That's the very last phrase in verse 2. What that is translated in the New King James Version is able to teach. The American Standard Version follows the King James Version, but the New American Standard and the ESV follow the New King James Version, able to teach. So he needs to be able to teach. Does that mean he should be teaching all the time? No, that's not what that means. What that means is able to teach. He can teach. He would teach, but that doesn't mean that he's teaching all the time. However, we do teach more than just with our words. We teach with our actions by the way we live. When Kathy and Annie were at Sam's eating lunch one day, and you get a great deal there, you get a slice of pizza for $2.50, which they split, you get a bottle of water for a quarter. So for about $2.75, they ate lunch together and shared it together to pray. And she's been taught how to pray. And Kathy sliced the pizza and then started to eat it. And Annie just automatically bowed her head, folded her hands like that. And then Kathy realized we hadn't prayed. And so they prayed. But there was a woman sitting right next to them. When she saw Annie do that, she was very impressed and said something to the effect, "I guess I should pray too." So we not only teach with our words, but we also teach with our actions. We teach by the way we live. And elders are certainly supposed to be that way as well. They're to have faithful children. I'm sorry. I've already done that one, haven't I? Okay. A good testimony among those who are outside at the end of verse 7, which is translated in the American Standard Version, a good testimony from them that are without, a good reputation among those who are outside the church. It's a New American Standard Version, which renders the idea, see? It's not the literal translation. In the New American Standard Version, the words "the church" are in italics. If you're looking at a New American Standard Version right now, you'll notice those two words are in italics. The reason they're in italics is because the translators have added them, because they're giving you what is the meaning of the phrase, the meaning of the Greek, not necessarily the literal translation of the Greek. The literal translation of the Greek there would be those who are outside. What does that mean? Well, it means those who are out of the church, not in the church, outside the church. So that's why it's translated that way. Well thought of by outsiders is the way the ESV translates it. Let me go back to the family life. Let me go back to page 2. Having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. That's the New King James Version now, the way that's translated. And then you see the way it's translated in the ASV, having children that behave, who are not accused of riot or unruly. The New American Standard Version has having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. And then children who are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. Now, what is dissipation? That's not a word we use, or at least it's not a word I throw around. Dissipation, if you look up its definition, it means to be intemperate. It means a descent into drunkenness and sexual decadence. It means also the squandering of money, energy, or resources. If you really want to know what it means prodigal living. As a matter of fact, it's the same idea that's used in the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15 to describe what the young man did, how the young man lived in the far-off country. So, faithful children, believing children, as Titus will tell us. The idea, of course, is that you have to have children, and they have to be old enough to be Christians. It is important to note, if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 2, when he talks about faithful children or believing children, look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So in that passage, to say that they must be faithful, as here, indicates that they must be Christians. And, yes?
So, if somebody has four kids, and you give them a belief, what would you say? Give them a belief in the world one.
And they're still... And they're, right, they're still under the elder's roof?
No, moved out.
They've moved out. Well, that's a great question, and I'm glad we've got six men here who could answer it. let me tell you what I think that means. If you have your children at home and your children are respectful and they are Christians, they are faithful, they are believers, as Titus will say, that's a blessing. That's. But when they leave your house, when they get from underneath the roof, they do have freedom of choice, and they will make decisions on their own. Maybe the key to this is what Paul says: they're not accused of dissipation or insubordination. In other words, they're not bringing shame and reproach upon the Father, or shame and reproach upon the church. So, if they're believing while under his roof, under his direction, at his table, so to speak, but they move out and then they're on their own and they make their own choices, that doesn't necessarily disqualify him. Now, he may personally feel like it does, but not necessarily does it disqualify him. But as far as having four children, two are faithful and two are unfaithful, or two aren't faithful at all, two aren't Christians, is that what you're saying? Does that disqualify him from being an elder? Is that the question you're asking? If they're still under your roof, they're still under your care, right? Okay. It's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer.
One of four. My dad said he would never be an elder because one of my siblings is not.
Yeah. I think that's what this says. I think that's what this says. Believing children. Faithful children. And obviously, in 1 Timothy 6, 2, that's a brother. Yes, sir.
What's the safest road?
Sure.
The safest road is that
sure.
All the children at home.
Sure. Absolutely. That's right.
I think verse 4 answers it.
Yes. Okay.
Let's go to the Bible.
with all reverence. Yeah, absolutely.
Verse 5,
take care of the church of God. That is right. That's correct. And I was saving that for the last, but this is a good place to stick it in and talk about it. You're right. That is what that means. And if he can't rule his own family, then how would you suppose he'll rule the church? It's a great question. Great comments. Others? Right. I think that's right. I think that's correct. That's wise. Very wise. All right. Our time is quickly running out. I'm sorry. Go over to Titus chapter 1, and let's read at least Titus chapter 1 and look at some of the qualifications. Verse 6, if any be blameless, that is above reproach when it comes to these qualifications that are about to follow. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. So his children, although not under his roof, have perhaps gone out on their own, have perhaps left the church, or no longer faithful to the church, or unfaithful to the church. If they're bringing shame and reproach upon the father, or shame and reproach, living a prodigal life, and that brings shame and reproach upon the church, then you have to ask yourself, how can a man continue to serve if his children are living that way? But if they're not living in a riotous, prodigal, or unruly way, then there is room, wiggle room at least, for an exception. For a bishop must be blameless, above reproach, as a steward of God, not self-willed. Steward of God, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 4:2, a steward is to be found faithful, so an elder is to be faithful. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So from a personal life perspective, page 1, an elder is to be faithful as a steward, or the New American Standard Version says trustworthy. A little bit different. He's not to be self-willed. The ESV says not arrogant. So that gives you a little idea. Verse 7, he's not to be angry or quick-tempered. Is a better way, perhaps, of saying it. Not soon angry, the American Standard Version. And then not given to wine. Again, similar to what you saw in 1 Timothy 3. Not violent. He's no striker. He's not pugnacious. Again, pretty much the same down the line. Not greedy for money. A lover of what is good. Verse 8. The King James Version says, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. But perhaps the better translation is a lover of what is good, the good ones, or what is good. A lover of good is a good translation in the ESV. Verse 8, sober-minded. The New American Standard Version translates that sensible. He's a sensible man, reasonable. Just, the ESV translates it a bit differently, upright, holy. The New American Standard Version has devout, but the words are the same. And then in verse 8, to be, of course, temperate is to be self-controlled, or as the ESV says, disciplined. And then in regarding his family life, he's to be the husband of one wife. That's true of 1 Timothy, as in Titus, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, and hospitable. So they're all the same. They're pretty much right down the line. In the congregational life, Titus says, holding fast the faithful word. This is different than Timothy. Timothy doesn't include this. The American Standard Version says, holding to the faithful word, holding fast the faithful word, New American Standard Version, and then the ESV, hold firm to the trustworthy word. So they're all very similar, but they give you a little bit different look at them. Verse 9, exhort and convict those who contradict. To contradict is to deny the truth, is to be argumentative regarding the truth. Exhort in sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers. A gainsayer is someone who contradicts, who denies what is taught, who is a disagreeable person in general. The ESV give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. All right, go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. These are more congregational, of course, qualifications. The elders which are among you, I exhort, to him also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a needy, a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so that's the King James Version. The New King James Version, you see there before you, not by compulsion, but willingly, not by constraint, the American Standard Version says, but willingly, I like this, according to the will of God. That's different than what you have in the New King James Version. Or the New American Standard Version, not by compulsion, but voluntarily, and then the ESV willingly as well. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. The American Standard Version says, with a ready mind. The New American Standard Version says, with eagerness. And then the ESV translates it, not for shameful gain. And then verse 3, the New King James Version, not as lords over the it over the charge allotted to you, the American Standard Version. And then you see the others. Not domineering, the ESV. And if he's not domineering in his home, he shouldn't be domineering in his home. Therefore, he is fit, at least from that standpoint, to be a good leader of the Lord's flock or the Lord's people. But being examples to the flock. And then I give you a list. I break them down for you. In who an elder is, these are the positive qualities of an elder. You can see those, you can read those, I'll not read those to you. Then you can see what an elder is not, who an elder is not. Some of these qualifications are negative, it seems. And then these closing remarks. Elders are first faithful Christians, first and foremost. Most of the qualifications of elders are qualifications of Christians, period. The exceptions being, of course, you don't have to be married to be a Christian. You don't have to have a Christian. You don't have to have believing children to be a Christian. You don't have to rule well in your own household to be a Christian. But most of these qualifications are the qualifications of a Christian, period. So who are we looking for in an elder? We're looking for a good man, a faithful Christian, sound in the Word of God. That's who we're looking for. Someone who is first, second of all, number two, first spiritual leaders in their marriages as well as their homes. And this is to the passage that Chad mentioned a moment ago in 1 Timothy 3, 5. Three, elders are first proven, grounded in the faith, and humble. They're not a novice. Why? Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. I've seen many congregations nearly destroyed, nearly ripped to pieces by an elder that was overbearing, that became the elder, and other men cowered to him. Elders are to be humble. They are to be grounded in the faith. They are to be proven. You'll notice in 1 Timothy 3, 13, a deacon who has served well in his role makes a good candidate for an elder because he has proven himself in so doing. And then number four, elders must have a good reputation in and out of the church, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Again, 1 Timothy 3, verse 7, So in his family life, in his business practices, in just his community, he's to have a good reputation. And then finally, the work of an elder is a good work. And it is worthy of honor, double honor, 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders aren't perfect. But you've got to admit, if a man can meet up to these standards, he's a pretty good man. But these are, just like with qualities of a Christian, fall into our personal lives, how we live our personal lives, our Christian life, also our home life, and then our congregational life. Well, I hope that helps. At least you got a handout. And at least you can look at the different translations and cross them if you wish, and maybe that'll help. But thank you, and I'm speaking to the elders again. I'll see you maybe Sunday.